Albert to Shmuel Bet chapter 5. If you wish to learn the chapters that we skip on Tisha B'Av, I don't have the strength and the emotion to teach about what happened.
Shmuel 2,
chapter 5.
Right?
Did you permission? Tragedy after tragedy, the behavior of like barbarian people, just unbelievable. The description. It's not even worth it to talk about. It's seated behind it, but I can't speak about it. With your permission, chapter 5, Shmuel Bet. This after Shaul was killed, and almost all Shaul's children got killed. The chief of staff and brothers. Then by a roll call shifty Israel David Hebrona. David went to the city of Hebron. לצול דבי ינוע צמחה וצורחה אנחנו. We all like you. גם אתמול, גם שלשום. The signs that we feel very close to you, that we feel like we are relatives of yours. I don't know why they have to say it. I mean, I do know, but I don't want to say it yet. גם אתמול, גם שלשום. Yesterday, and before I say what it means before, Yotchum Melech Aleinu was still, and Shaul was still a king, still Atah, Itam, Otziba, Mevit Israel. You're the one that used to take us out, in and out, which means you used to be the leader, you used to be the officer in the army, you used to take us in and out. So even though Shaul was a king, you are the one that you really took care of us. That's a simple explanation. ויאמר השם לך, the author know what השם told to David, אתה תראה את עמי, you can be the shepherd of Israel, את ישראל, אתה תראה את זה, נגיד הכל ישראל. Two things, you can be a shepherd, and also you're going to be like a king. Like two things. And they know it. And therefore, they all came now, and this is after so many tragedies. So from the family of Shaul, almost nobody was left. So they all come to compromise, if I may say, and they going to ask him to be the king of all of us. They all came to Hebron, to the king, David made a treaty with all of them, no more opposition, no more wars, no more executions. And Shechu David Lamelech on Israel, and finally David is going to be the king. Adonai doesn't say how they did it, with what they did it. They just appointed him. Of course, he was appointed before already. He doesn't need any more anointment from anybody. Hashem already told Shmuel to do it to him. But Navi says that Am Israel, they anointed him also. I don't know, it doesn't, again, it's no information that they found with what, they poured oil on him. They just say it with words. They decided all together that David is the king. He is the king of all of Israel. Right. Almost in November.
Was there ever a point that people knew that Shmuel had...
That sounds like that is all of a sudden they know. It sounds like. There's no information, I don't know who told them, because they kept it as a secret. David himself told it to Abigail, but Midrash says in the beginning they kept it as quiet as possible because they did not want to have any accident with Shaul. And David did not want anybody to know that he was anointed to become a king, so he didn't want anybody to go into Shaul and Shaul was going to chase him even more. I don't know, they knew also that the statement, they knew the statement was exactly what Hashem said. They knew that Hashem said that to the quote. They said Hashem said you're going to be a shepherd and a king. I don't know why it would be true, but they know exactly the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know how they know it. There's no information. Nobody would he can say, I don't know if you're alive to say it. I don't know, according to halakha, if somebody tells you something, Hashem told it to you, if you're allowed to go and tell it. That's called Olech Achir Megadel, Olech Achir Megadel Sod. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Sefer Mishlei that it's a very big scene to reveal a secret. I mean, the secret was revealed to you, not allowed to say it. Ariel said it. That one of the children died. Maybe two of them. Rav Nachman Breslov said his children died. I said, because you reveal secrets. Shlomo HaMelech warned us in Sefer Mishlei, we're not allowed to reveal a secret. It's a big punishment for somebody to reveal a secret. It's a prophecy from Shmuel Nabi to Shaul HaMelech that he's going to be the king. Nobody is allowed to say that to the public, unless Hashem says to the public. But we had a special reason also to hide it, even when anybody can know about it. I don't know how that. I've looked at it. I couldn't find a route. How did everybody know exactly what Hashem said about David HaMelech? They know the exact words. They quote the words of Hashem that Hashem said about David HaMelech.
But are we also
died
because of the
medical? He didn't die because of that. He said he died because he finished the job. I said, what's the charlatan?
Is there a significance to the fact that there's a partial stuma in the middle of the pasuk? Is that common to have a partial stuma in the middle of the pasuk?
Where do you have it? Which pasuk do you have it?
Pasuk at the end.
It says,
right.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, there is, yeah, it isn't. I don't really know. Also, you see this, Aita, you have an extra A, and then a V, you're missing an Aleph. I really don't know. I really don't know. I was looking about it, I didn't know. I think the Torah also a few times that you have in the middle of the topic. I don't know. Sentence 3, with your permission. Yeah, I'm sorry, sentence 4. We should assume Shana David ben Molchot. David was 30 years old when he was appointed to become a king. Altogether he ruled 40 years as a king. Yosef also was the same time, yeah. Yosef was 80. He was a king. It wasn't in Israel, it was in the Egyptian space. 30, right. Then he came to power, right.
He ruled much longer.
I'm sorry?
Yosef ruled much longer.
80, double.
Yeah. He ruled only 40.
40, but David ruled Israel. He ruled Goy. Yeah. Goy to rule is easy.
No, not David.
But don't you know what this guy Truman? I mean, the story is really good. Yeah, I don't know. Another story, no?
Yeah.
Truman asked me, Goya, why can't you control your people over there in Israel? You have 200,000 people. What's for there?
Yeah.
So Ben Gurion said, how many generals do you have in America? I said, one. Eisenhower. So Ben Gurion said, in Israel you have 200,000.
That's what Golda Meir told Johnson. And when he was ready to upset about this discussion with her and said, don't you know that I am the president of 250 million people? She said, that's nothing. I am the prime minister of 4 million presidents. She said it.
So David, Nabi tells us David was 30 when he became a king and he ruled 40 years. First he ruled 7 years and 6 months in Hebron. The Gemara said 33, 32 and a half. Just that Nabi did not want to say the word half, so the rule, just round it up. So altogether 40. I'll call Israel the Yuda. So altogether, he ruled 40, but in Yerushalayim he ruled, the Navi says, everybody. Okay.
Is this one because it's from the time that that Shmuel anointed him, or just from the time that he finally
started No, from the time he started Shmuel. The Gemara said, "En malchut nogaz achabatah." The Gemara said, as long as Shaul was alive, David was not really called the king. The Gemara said that Shaul had to die on the minute that David is going to become a king. Even though it doesn't seem in the Navi that it's the same day David became a king. Because there's a few stories over here before. I don't know. But some of this was just maybe a matter of a month or a few months, so Nabi doesn't count. Melech HaMelech Manashav, Yerushalayim. So now David is going to Yerushalayim. Ela Yivusi Yoshev Haaretz, he will see one of the seven nations that dwell in Eretz Yisrael, that dwell that live in Yerushalayim, and David goes towards them, and he wants to chase them out of Yerushalayim. Emele David, as you have the Arab quarter. Emele David, the more lot of oina. So they sent the messenger, and they said, you cannot come here. You cannot come close to here, you cannot enter Yerushalayim, ki misircha yivrim v'apishun lemor, v'yavod David hena. It's all discussion what it means really. The simple explanation, all the Chachamim say that it means like this. Since Abraham Avinu made a treaty with Avimelech, and he promised Avimelech not to fight with him, at the time that Abraham promised Avimelech that, the people you will see are some relatives of Avimelech's family, and they took it very seriously. The Midrash says even one step forward, the Midrash says that Avraham Avinu was able to purchase next week Maharat HaMachpelah only by a promise, even though it doesn't say in the Torah, only by a promise not to chase out those groups that's called Yebusi. Since David HaMelech wants to enter, so in the front of the city of Yerushalayim, the Midrash says they had like seven sheep statues. Those seven sheep that Abraham gave Abimelech when they died, it doesn't say it was in Yerushalayim, that treaty, but eventually the people in Yerushalayim, that there was some family with Abimelech, went and they made like seven statues of sheep. They go and they welded them into the ground in Yerushalayim. When David comes over, he wants to go to Yerushalayim, the people tell them that they can come and you see those things over here, why they're standing over here. That's a promise that the great-grandfather Abraham promised our great-grandfather Abimelech he cannot come in, don't come inside here. Not only that, Abraham said it was like magic maybe as well, that really David Abimelech would not be able to do it. It wasn't just a promise, it was a very serious business that he cannot even enter because everything is now being magic, so you cannot even enter it. The bottom line is, this is what he said, is that it says that David HaMelech wants to go to Yerushalayim, he cannot go to Yerushalayim. Of course, the explanation is he wants to go into Yerushalayim, if you remember, that he knows already the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be in Yerushalayim, and as Nabi will tell us in the next few chapters that he wants to build Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So of course, he wants to enter, that's the explanation, he wants to enter Yerushalayim, because he wants eventually to build Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Also, maybe he just wants to take over Yerushalayim as well. But the main thing, it sounds like he wants to build Beit HaMikdash, and now he cannot go in. They don't let him. So in the meantime, the Nabi tells us, Melko David Mitzudat Tiyon Yer David. I don't know what it means exactly. I mean, simple explanation. It says David was able to capture Mitzudat Tiyon. Of course, Tiyon is a Hebrew word. And Mitzuda is like a very strong place. So David is able to capture it, even though, again, this is part of Yerushalayim, that those people told him, you cannot do anything, you cannot enter. He by himself, he goes over there, maybe that's what it means, some Chachamim say, he goes and he captures it. David says also that, you know, Mitzuda Tzion is also Mitzuda Ir David, this is the city of David. I don't know what it means exactly. But that's what David says. David went inside. Then David by Yomahu, at the same time, he was able only to capture maybe this part of the city of Yerushalayim. He announces, says the Navi, Kol Makei Yebusi, V'yigav HaTzinor, V'et HaPisim Et HaYivrim Snuit Nefesh David, whoever is going to go and capture and hit them, and he will be able to overcome those ones that call Pisim, the ones that don't walk straight by Ivrim, the blind people. This is again in the Pasuk in the Tupsukim before it refers to Avodah Zarah. The Chachamim say that it refers also to some people that were there, that they were described as limpers and blind people. David hates them so much. And David doesn't say anything, but in the Devarim it says that David promised whoever is going to do such a thing will be able to do it. David is going to reward him and is going to give him a very high position in his army. That's what really the Navi means of it. David announced that he's going to do it, he's going to reward him. And people used to say no blind, no limp person would go inside the house. What it means is again that he wants to give an incentive to the person that is going to do it. He cannot do it and nobody can do it. Navi again, instead of Israel, I mean, gives more information. And the information is that Yoav jumped, he was able to jump over a wall, and he went and he started the war against this Yebusi, and David awarded him at that time and made him the chief of staff at that time. And David cannot do it by himself, and he is promising an award for someone who is going to capture Yerushalayim. He cannot do it himself. This is what exactly the problem that he cannot do. I said, David HaMelech cannot do all of a sudden. It was described as a very brave person. And he himself says that he was able to capture part of it. But he cannot continue this war. He has to have a volunteer, and he is going to promise a reward to the volunteer, not just sending somebody. David settled over there in this place that he captured. He named it David, but even David says, Sabimina Milo, Vaita, the question what it means, he built something around the wall, maybe he poured something around it, maybe he made a hole, filled the hole with water, for the army, for the enemy not to come and try to recapture the city of Jerusalem. I'm sorry? I cannot. It means this is very, very busy with the city of Yerushalayim. Yes, same explanation what it means is that this is, of course, that's the most important city that we have, and again, maybe he wants to have this part in order to move to Mikdash. Same explanation. There's a description. The description is that he's trying very hard, and he can't do it himself, and he's going to look for a volunteer, and somebody's going to come, he's going to help him, he's going to reward him, eventually he's going to take it, he's going to try to guard it and watch it, but the enemy should not take it back from him. Maybe a sentence telling me the information, Ha'er David Aloch V'Gadol, V'Hashem Elokei Tzvachot Imo. It's something that we don't find any other place that believe in the Tanakh in such a description. About anybody else. David was going and growing, becoming very big. The description is right. That part. Yeah. But the second part it says Vashem Eloket Vakotimo. Hashem is being described with three names. Hashem is Yitzke Vavke. Elokei is like Elokim, Tzvakot. That Hashem is the one that has all the armies upstairs. With him. It means not only Vashem Imo, that you find this description in other places. That Shaul, for example, it says Hashem was with him, Hashem helped him to be successful. It says only Hashem. Over here by David, it doesn't say only Hashem. It says, besides Hashem, two other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, what does it mean really? What does David want to teach us? The Torah says really that David was described, he's being described in this Navi, that he is someone that no one else was described as big as him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, all the way with all, if we say, the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, Chachamim said that it means that he's going to be Mashiach, because it means that the description is so great and high, it means not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the army upstairs is with him. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the chief of staff of the army upstairs. That description we can't find any other person in the Tanakh, whether that Hashem was with him. And that's what Chachamim said. That's what it means that David is very special. The question is, what's really the specialty of David? Of course, we understand everything, but really doesn't say anything. What's really behind that statement, and why David is so special? Well, it's a major problem. It's a major problem to break it, because if Abraham swore, you cannot break it just like this. Right, it's a machloket, right? It's a little machloket about it. Because they say they did it already. They say one of the things is Bilam himself, by coming, is already, of course, it's Abraham, but it's the Tishtim, the Bilam, it's already had some fights before that maybe broke the Shua. It's a machloket among the Chachamim. It's not so simple. Now, if you remember, Hashem was upset if Abraham made this swear, this treaty with other men. Hashem is upset. Still, Abraham promised it. See, you see that the Midrash says, really, David HaMelech answered them. It says, you already broke the treaty. I'm not responsible. That's a machloket, if it's really, that's what it is or not. We'll get to it in a minute. What's really behind it?
There is a similar statement for Noah.
No. Over here it says, over there it says that Noah was walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it doesn't say that David was walking with Hashem. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with him. Whatever he does, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. This you don't find in the Tanakh about any other person. Right, but doesn't say Hashem elokeitz makos imo, right? It is only Yud Kei Vav Kei. Only Hashem that appears as a Yud Kei Vav Kei is together with Yosef. The same thing with Shaul. You don't find anybody else that Hashem was with him as the three adjectives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you may say.
All three names would signify something.
Signify that's very powerful, if we say, appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with David HaMelech. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no entity, of course, but it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself. HaKadosh reveals himself as the Yud Kei Vav Kei most of the times. Here, the Navi says, Baruch Hu reveals himself to David in three ways, if you may say.
Yeah, different.
Yeah, of course. Every name is different. It means different appearance. I'm sorry? No. Then there's Mishlach Yirah Melech Tom Malachim al David. So out of nowhere, David tells us that the king of Tor sent some messengers to David. David didn't ask him anything. And they come, they bring with them some special wood, the Harashayit, carpenters, Harshaving here, masons, they have no bite of David. They're building a house for David. Can you imagine? You come one day in the backyard with Albert, somebody is building a palace for you. You know, they eat nothing. Or they arrive with the Tunutarsis. They arrive without a notice, without invitation. They just landed in Israel one day, they came down with all the wood. The carpenter is the masons, they're going to build a house for David. So what's behind it? Yeah, but what's behind it? You didn't order anybody. I'm telling you, you have some Portuguese in your backyard, they're building a building.
Maybe get a daughter, Hiram.
No. There's no information, that's the end of the information. That of course it means that sentence. Well, that's what the Midrash says. Right? David, you know, Hashem Yimlech HaKol Al Yisrael. David, when he saw that they're building him a palace, he says, I didn't order it. He says, it's a message from Hashem. Hashem decided, prepared myself to become a king. This is with Hashem. Of course, Hashem already told him information before. Shmuel anointed him. Hashem himself already told him. Doesn't matter. Now, when he saw such a thing, that the man came, the goy came, the head of a king of the head of a country, Tor, he comes and he's building him a palace, says, oh, it must be a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm the king. Vechini Yisimam Lachto Bavu Amo Yisrael, also he's a king and also the kingdom is in a very high position. because of Am Yisrael. I don't know what it means exactly. We'll get to it, what it means really. But it's this is just a story or some information that David was able to make a decision, if I may say. That he is the chosen one. He's talking, he has a doubt. The doubt. I don't know why I have doubt. Shmuel Nabi told you, and there's information but we didn't learn today, that Hashem already told him. That Hashem told him to become the king. This is chapter 2, sentence 1. That he moved to Hebron, and they anointed him in Hebron already. This was after Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After the Shaul was killed, and Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the next step? May I go back to Israel? Because he was living with Achish among the Arabs, among the Plishtim. Hashem said, yeah, go to Hebron. He met Hebron, took his family, he met Hebron. He got to Hebron, everybody in Hebron anointed him. He says, you're the king of Hebron. You're the king of Yehuda. It sounds like he has some doubts. Sounds like he's not sure about himself so much. And even though he was a king in Hebron, and now he's going to Yerushalayim, he still has some doubts. Now, when these guys send his workers with the wood, all the way up from Tor, and they're building the house, he says, okay, now I know for sure. He says, by God, David, now I know for sure I'm the king. I said, until now I had some doubts. What's the doubts? What's the problem exactly that he has doubts about it? What's the doubts about? Hashem sent Shmuel and Levi. Shmuel told him at the time that he's going to be the king. He knew when Shaul is going to die, he's going to be the king. Abigail told him with her prophecy that he's going to be the king. Hashem himself told him. Amitai already anointed him. Now he's here already, he's in Yerushalayim already. Still has doubts. He says, I know for sure. The guy is bringing me a house. I know for sure. Before you had doubts, why you had doubts before?
The
end, yeah. Eventually, that's what he's going to do. Yeah. Not yet. Yeah. Not now. He's building his private house. His private palace. From the first time, nothing was left. Even the quarter that we have today is from the second Metamorphosis. From the first Metamorphosis, everything was destroyed. The Yimach Shimam, the Nebuchadnezzar and his people, the Zahadan came and the Tzal Yerushalayim, it became like a field. Nothing was left in it. Nothing. And then when they started to build the second Metamorphosis, they started, they brought all kind of dirt and soil to cover. And then they built the second Metamorphosis and the walls. Whatever you see today, nothing from the first Metamorphosis. Unless you're going to dig down very much, and over there you might find some walls from the original first Beit HaMikdash. All the way down. Over there, the tunnel is the second Beit HaMikdash. You have to go very deep. The way they're digging now, if you went in the tunnel now, and you see they're digging down, and they'll find over there, down, they'll find certain things that might be from first Beit HaMikdash, might be. That's for sure. But all these things were according to that Tzion, all these things, it's not from the first things.
Maybe the women are fed already cleaned it up.
Yeah, maybe. So it's okay.
They've been for a couple of years.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. What do you say now?
Where do you see that he has doubts?
Well, it says, David. It's a sentence where it says, now. It says, now I know that Hashem made me a king. It says, until now you don't know. Shmuel told you, Hashem himself told you to go to Hebron.
The story that said that in the first Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech knew some tunnel that he had to get everything through the tunnel, and then it was given to all the kings one by one. Only the king will know. Is this true or this?
Sure, so, yeah. It's Yahu ran through that man of the tunnel. As the Gemara says, that when Nebuchadnezzar came and tried to catch and kill Tzidkiyahu, he ran in one of the tunnels. And that tunnel was only from Yerushalayim to Yericho. And in Yericho, they waited for him because they saw a deer goes inside the tunnel. And they ran up in the tunnel and he was almost at Yericho. Can you imagine how long it was? 10 miles. 10 miles tunnel from underneath Beit HaMikdash, all the way down out here. See, David HaMelech already wrote Sefer Tehillim. He knew everything because this is Amnarot Babel, right. This is 137, chapter 137 Tehillim is Amnarot Babel. It says we sit down over there on the rivers of Iraq and we cry. And he says not only the first HaMikdash, in that chapter he talks about second HaMikdash as well. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he wrote Megillat Echa, this was in the first, before the second HaMikdash was destroyed, his prophecy also already on second HaMikdash. It's going to be destroyed by the Romans. So they knew. And this is why, if you remember I said, the Yemenite people left right away. The Yemenite people in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they packed up the bags and they went to Yemen. They said, we know it's going to be destroyed, especially after he fell asleep. That's why they made up their mind for sure the prophecy is going to be 100%, because the Caliph was upset that day and he swore that it's going to be destroyed. They knew it from David HaMelech already, from his prophecy, from Tehillim, isn't it?
But everybody else knew also.
Everybody else had hope, maybe. Or maybe they didn't care, I don't know. There's no information. Right. Shem sends to the team the permission, I got the legal deal of Shim bin Nashim, Yerushalayim, Achariv, or Mechavon, since he came from Mechavon, he got married to more ladies, Bazul, David Banim, Oli, David Banim, Manot, he got more children, the Rish Mosei, Lodim, Lovis, all together, Shamu, Shabab, Natam, Shlomo, the team Shlomo, Amelech, Yivcha, Yeshua, Nefek, Yafia, Yishama, Yada, Yifalet, Send the same to me. The Mishmo Pishtim Kim Mashku David Lemelech on Israel. The Pishtim heard that everybody agreed to appoint David as a king. Vayalu Kol HaPishtim Nevakesh Et David drafted everybody from the Pishtim Vayishma David Yehud Alam Tzudam. So David went to his place. The question, what does it mean exactly? But same explanation means he went inside his place that he captured before, and he's debating what to do. Pishtim bow away the true image of Fahim, the Pishtim came and decided to fight. Vayishal David Bashem Lemor Elela Pishtim Atitnem Beit Bi, if I'll go and I'll fight the Pishtim, am I going to win? And now Hashem and David Aleki Natol Netenta Pishtim Bedecha, go ahead. I'm going to give them in your hand. You're going to win. David, he came to a place and he hit them. He was able to overcome them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to break it, like the water breaks things, and I was able to overcome them. He named the place Baal Paratim because he won the war against them. So they left over there the statues, the Philistines, David HaMelech was carrying them. But they didn't give up yet, but you see from all the Philistines, all the Nashuv and Mishafayim. Now they came to a different place, they're going to fight in a different place. Vayishal David Barashim, Amar Lo Taaleh. David is asking Hashem, may I go again? Hashem said, no. You cannot go. What you got to do is a Sevel Acharim, you have to go from the back. You have to see in the back and you're going to see the trees. Behind the trees. This is, you cannot fight the enemies from the front. You have to go all the way in the back. But you have to wait. You have to wait and look at the trees. That's a simple explanation. When you're going to see like the trees are shaking and making noise, that's what this means. Then you start the war. It means like this. You're going to be in the back. You have to hide in the back. They're up in the front to attack Am Yisrael. You go to the back. You go to the back, but you can't attack them from the back. You have to sit quietly in the back. Sit down in the back until you see the trees are shaking, and like the trees are saying certain things, like jumping, they're making a noise, then you go. Then you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of you. Yeah, that comes from that. So Rashi said it's not really the trees, it's not the trees. The trees, Rashi said it's angels that they are marching on the top of the trees. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send some angels, that's what Rashi said. But the Midrash, Rahamim said it means really the trees are going to make some noise. So there's a command from Kadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot fight, you may not fight, you have to be in the back, and you live in the back, you cannot attack them, you have to wait.
Why would God require...
I don't know.
To go from behind.
I don't know.
God's afraid to go forward?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
We have to wait?
Mm-hmm.
That's
no.
We don't need strength.
No, it's not. It's not.
God says to get him up front.
Right. No, that, but he tells him not to do anything.
Tell him not to do it.
Right. By the way, in Shamayim, at that moment, angel says the Midrash Esra Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's the difference between David and Shaul? So Shaul was killed by the Philistines, and here David is going to overcome them. Of course Shaul is a punishment maybe that he needed to have. And Hashem said, look at the difference between Shaul and David. David is going now to wait and see what's going to happen, and will not budge, will not move. Not only would not budge, would move. And the Midrash says that the Pishtim started to fight and they're going forward and they're going all over. And people told David HaMelech, watch out, look, they're going out to look at us and going to kill us. And David said, I have to look at the trees. He said, stop with it. Stop looking at the trees now. You see the enemy in front of you looking at trees. He said, Hashem said, I have to look at the trees. So Hashem told the angels, you see the difference between Shaul and David? David is going to wait, so the people in David's area say, we're going to be killed. He said, let's get killed, better to get killed than not to listen to Hashem's comment.
So this was a test?
What's the test?
First
one, the opposite of Shaul.
There were two things that were opposite. Shaul never didn't listen.
Right.
He didn't destroy Malek.
Right, right.
And everything that...
Right, I didn't wait. Right.
He didn't wait.
Right. Right. This is the Midrash of Bekhetseh. David is going to wait. What's really behind it? It's unbelievable what's behind it, but I don't know if it's too early to start that. So what did you say?
You got at least another 5 minutes.
Okay, okay, 5 minutes.
Thank you.
No, don't say that. It's another 5 minutes to hear why.
Six. They don't bring the
Shaul didn't show away. Shaul didn't a few times didn't wait. One time he didn't wait for Shmuel. Shmuel told him, don't do nothing. Before I come, don't slaughter. And also the Pishtim came at the time. And that time he told Shmuel, I couldn't wait anymore. At the time he told the Kohen, stop it, I can't do nothing. Let's go, Alehu. Jihad. He says, let's go. David, and Hashem tells the angels, David is different. He's going to wait. But the question, what's really behind it? Shaul is described as a big tzaddik.
The biggest.
The biggest, yes. David is not described like this. The description that David gives about Shaul, David was not described like this. I mean, David says about himself, some people are Loish, he's a Sambal as well, but in David describes Shaul in no sins, never did a sin in his life. Very humble, and the Gemara says, the Midrash said, he helped all of Israel, he was worried about an Israel, he gave the ladies money to get married. He shared his wealth with Am Israel, people screamed at him, he didn't budge, he didn't get insulted. They're full of good things about him.
That's why he was crying.
But he wasn't a
little. He was crying the whole night.
Right.
He loved it,
yeah. Well, the first king is not it.
Maybe this protects the cover of Shaul, but David has to attack in the back. He can't stand this straightforward and be successful.
No, then again, Hashem said over here it's like embarrassment to Shaul.
Yes.
They said that David is much better than him. The question is, what's really behind it? But yes, there is sentence 25, with your permission. But yes, David came to Hashem, Tzivahu Hashem. He did listen. And then, Vayachat HaPishtim, he gave us Baruch HaGaz, and then he was able to come and overcome them.
Because of his decisiveness? David is a king because he's decisive, he makes a stand, and he does what he's told, what he's supposed to do.
So the question is, why Shaul not? Why David yes, why Shaul not? What's really the difference? Your permission, I just want to point something for you. Let's see if we can reach it. This is chapter 5. We'll go back. Chapter 5, sentence 1.
1?
Yeah. No. Chapter 5.
Same chapter.
Not chapter 4.
No.
Chapter 5. Very clear to call it. The same chapter we just started today. That is what it says. It says, Vayavor Koshitei Israel David Chebrona. David lived and dwelt in Hebron. All of a sudden everybody came to him. That again, that happened after Shaul's family was destroyed completely with a tragedy execution as they had in Iraq today. Just kill everybody on the street. Kill them and playing with swords each other. Disaster. Oh man, massacre not today. Vayomru l'emor. It says all the tribes came, and they came and they said to the David, "Inenu atzmecha u'besarcha anachu." What does it mean, atzmecha u'besarcha? What does it mean that sentence, atzmecha?
It's okay.
It's empty.
It doesn't matter.
Right. What does it mean? What does it mean? We are your flesh and we are yours. What does it mean? The Ari says like this. The Gemara says that the person's bones come from his father. The person's flesh comes from his mother. So, when Israel came to him and told him, we are your bones and your flesh. Judah is the flesh.
Tamar.
No, Ruth is a goy.
Leah
is Judah.
Yeah.
Right, they're on there.
Rachel.
How?
No, it has to be someone first before that.
It's Ruth
or...
No.
Is it Rachel?
Sure, but not Rachel exactly. Almost Rachel. Bila. That's what the brother said to Yosef in a way. We'll get to it, what they meant. David HaMelech's mother, her name was Nitzevet Bat Adiel, from the tribe of Dan. David HaMelech's father was from Yehuda, his mother was from Dan. Yehuda is from Leah. Right. Yehuda is from Leah, and Dan is from Rachel, from Bilah. That's what Rachel tells Yaakov. That's what's called Dan. So therefore, really, what it means, that part, that David HaMelech is very, very strong, if I may say, is from both sisters. But it means he is from Yaakov and from all of them. The child wasn't.
So it's from all 12 tribes, in other words.
Right. He is from the two mothers together with the same father. It's called Atzmecha Besorcha. We, all of you, are you. Why? Because you represent both sides, not just mothers. We are, some of us, from this mother, some of us from that mother, but you from both mothers together. Because your mother and your father are from the different mothers.
So there's a culture difference.
This is why, or this is why really the secret, when Shaul was appointed, some people made a joke out of him, they don't want him. They don't want him. But David is no opposition. There's no opposition. You know, there's been opposition before, so many that family of Shaul that they felt that they have to still be a king for another reason. But when Shaul was appointed as the first king, some people say, oh, that is not for us. He is from Rachel. We are from Leah. So whoever is from Rachel, they accepted it. Whoever from Leah didn't accept it. Lesson. This is why? Because you not our flesh and our bone together. In order for you to say to someone, I'm your flesh and I'm your bone, you have to be from the same father and mother. But some of us all the time was from the same father, but not from the same mother. But Shaul was from only one time. So he didn't have. Therefore, Shaul had this kind of opposition. Not only that, it goes even a little bit further, Zohar says, that this is really maybe why Shaul himself is so scared of David and he is upset at David and he wants to get rid of David. He says he knows the truth. You cannot be a king on all of Israel if you're not part of all of Israel. You have to feel that you're part. Means a part means that your flesh and your bones are the same. By the way, this was Shimshon was like this, and Shimshon was like this. Shimshon was opposite. His father was from Dan,
right?
And his mother was from Leah. Her name was Zalfonit, from Yehuda.
Okay.
So Shimshon was he was supposed to be the first Mashiach because he's very comparable to David. Because he is really the flesh and the bone is the same. Because he is from two tribes, from two mothers, and from one father. Was one guy like this? That's it, Mordechai. Ish Yudiyah B'Shoshan Adirah, like Gemara says, his father is from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda. Right. And the brothers, that's really what the brothers told Joseph later, after Yaakov died. It says, we are the same flesh, the same bone. It's not true. It's not true.
Then why is the descendants?
Joseph is. What's that? That's the secret. The secret. The secret is that Joseph is like this. Why Joseph is like this? Joseph was born from Rachel. But why Joseph is like this? Because Joseph was really Yael said that Joseph really was as a little boy, as a baby in Leah's family. And he transferred. But not Binyamin.
Yeah.
And this is really why there is a machloket that is between Yaakov and Rachel. Rachel is upset at Binyamin. Yaakov says, okay. Because Binyamin, you see, is a Shaul. Shaul is only one side. One side, he won't be able to control everybody. And this is really what did happen to Shaul. And David, the opposite. So therefore, David himself, really, he did not know, really, until now that he is going to be the king forever. That happened to Shaul, he doesn't know. And the Ramesh comes to him, and he says, we are, you are, our bone and our flesh. The bone and the flesh together. I am from two of them together. And David says, this is really what it says in Megillat Ruth. When Oved was born to Ruth and Boaz, so then the neighbors over there gave a bracha. Mm-hmm. And they said, we hope this baby is going to be like the son of Rachel and Leah. So then when you say from the two of them, and Rachel and Leah from the two mothers, that it means that you are part of all of Israel. You cannot be the king, you cannot be Mashiach unless you feel for everybody. And if you don't feel for everybody, you cannot do it. I mean, you can feel, but you cannot say, I'm part of every Jew. So part of every Jew, if your mother, your father are, if we say, the father and the mother of all of Israel. This is necessary, says David. And it's really why Shaul HaMelech was not able to rule, really. That's the secret behind it. And this is part of his, with all the respect, Shaul kills Novira Kohanim. Not the sin. says, if you feel that you are the same flesh, the same bone, you're not going to kill your brother. But it says the Kohanim are not my flesh, my bone. I mean, we are from the same father, not from the same mother. I mean, the bone is the same, but not the flesh. So therefore, the Nabi will tell you that this is really what happened. And this really, again, I couldn't teach the chapters before. It's tragedy after tragedy. But if you read the chapters before, Shabbat, if you want to read it, so you see that, if we see the conflict between Shaul and David, and Shaul's people and David's people, that's the conflict. The David's people feel more for Israel than Shaul's people. Again, not because Chas v'Shalom, Shaul is not a good person, just because Shaul does not have the same with Israel, the same with David has with Israel.
So you're saying that it's genetic?
I wouldn't say the word genetic, I say that you
that's
feel, they say,
they say
like, you know, the twins, they say that if you have identical twins, it says in the Midrash, it says in the Zohar, identical twins, that says that one left, the other one left, for no reason, he's in the other side of the world. Because he feels it.
Right.
Right. Yankee, it's called in America, Yankee. So if you are the same flesh, the same bone, you feel for each other. But if you're not the same flesh, the same bone, so what it means, if you're from two different mothers, even if even Yaakov is the same father, but still, because Rachel is from one mother, and Leah is one mother, so the children of Rachel are not the children of Leah, so therefore the conflict will have a conflict. And that's really the secret in the chapters before, that conflict, that the fighting, the playing with each other, that the killing each other, it says the conflict is if you feel or you don't feel. And David, when he was anointed to become a king, he still has some doubts if he's going to be the king, because he sees what happened to Shaul HaMelech, and it's going to happen to him as well. Until Amisrael, the Sarik comes over to him, and the old company says, here it is, I'll come to you. So David will tell you, listen, that's exactly what it's going to be. It says, first David was a king in Hebron. Hebron is a part of Yehuda. That's what Caleb went, and then Yeshua gave Hebron to Caleb. He went to pray over there, so it belongs to Yehuda. So David feels very comfortable. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what shall we go to Hebron? I said, okay, go to Hebron, go. Do this there, go. Go to Hebron. It doesn't mean he's going to be the king of all of Israel. I said, yeah, you feel for your tribe. I said, you still don't know if you're also from the other side, from the side of Rachel. I said, yeah, I'm only one side. I'm from the tribe of Yehuda. Yeah, my mother is from Dan. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be the one that can rule all of Israel. They say if he goes to Hebron, that's what he tells you. At the beginning, David was a king in Hebron for 7 years, 7 years and 6 months. He says what it means is not just a history. It means, yeah, you're the king, but your kingdom is really not a solid kingdom yet. Because now you're in Yehuda. And I says, wait, Amitra is going to come to you one day. I says, going to say, they're going to invite you. He says, you are born to know this. Because now you understand. Now I'm the king. I'm not the king only of the tribe of Judah that comes from Leah. I'm the king of all of Israel that comes from Rachel as well through Bilhah. It means because the bones and my flesh is for everything. And he says, that's when he felt it. And that's really what the Nabi is going to tell you, the description of David HaMelech, that Hashem loves him so much and Hashem is with him the whole time. And says, because he is going to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim says, Dari, that's a sign. Yerushalayim is not just the capital of Israel, Yerushalayim is a sign that now you are from Yehuda and you rule in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a mixture of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Mizbeach itself, the altar itself, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that the altar itself in Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash was part in the tribe of Yehuda, part in Binyamin. Again, it sounds like it happened to be this way, it sounds like something has to be this way, but Allah says, no, what it means is that you are David HaMelech as a king, and you have to be a king of all of Israel, you're going to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is a part of Rachel Imenu, part of Leah Imenu, and therefore, says Ari, you are the appointed king. So he goes to Yerushalayim, he has a hard time. And he's going to tell you, he has a hard time. He's evil. He over there, at the moment he made a treaty, he cannot do it himself. He really can't do it himself. He says he is not sure, David is not sure that he is really the person to rule in Yerushalayim. He has some doubts. He still has some doubts. He says, I don't want to take over the kingdom by myself. Again, Hashem never told him to do it. Hashem only told him to go to Hebron. Now he's going to Yerushalayim because he felt that he should go to Yerushalayim because everybody came to him and said, no, we are part of you and you are the only ruler that we have, that we are part of you, flesh, part of human. He's going to Yerushalayim, he comes to Yerushalayim, he says he's in a hardship, he cannot capture it, he says this is a treaty, this, he says he gives somebody a reward, he says if you can do it, you know that the Levi tells you is to see if really, if you can do it, it means you deserve to be the king. The Levi tells you he goes, they capture and he can avenge everything. And all of a sudden, after he does it, he says, Meshiram, the king of Tzor comes, he sends him some wood, some carpenter, some masons, he's going to build the palace, and says, now I know, finally Hashem agreed. So again, I went to Yerushalayim without an order from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I went to Yerushalayim upon myself because Am Yisrael said I am part of them. I said, you know, did not know really if I am a part of all Am Yisrael. Maybe it just, you know, happened to be. My father is from the tribe of Dan and my father is from the tribe of Judah. But I'm still not called what we call the mixture that I can rule Yerushalayim.
Why are there the agreement between us?
So I would say it's a secret, so you're not supposed to. Right, right. So I don't mean to do that. Right, so maybe I shouldn't do it. Okay, so I would say it maybe without explaining. There is a necessity really to have Rachel in there. It's a necessity. So we look at it, that Yaakov Avinu maybe, you know, it's just, you know, he went to marry Rachel, happened to be married there, same as Rachel as well. But had to be that he had to marry both of them. The question how this would happen really. But he had to marry both of them. Because one, Tzari resembled the Shekhinah upstairs, one resembled the Shekhinah downstairs. So it means like this. And Tzari says like this, that there is an entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Shekhinah. Shekhinah is, if you may say, like part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, part of the Shekhinah is downstairs, part is upstairs. The upstairs one is called Rachel, the bottom one is called Leah. Therefore Rachel's grave is on the ground, Leah's grave is all the way down to Maarat HaMakpela. So now Rachel is higher than Leah. Ivri means the one, of course, Ivri means a blind person, it means he doesn't see in his eyes. The eyes is in the head of the person. Pishim means he's limping. It's the feet. It's already on the bottom of the person. What it means is those people that lived in Yerushalayim in those days, they said, they can, if I may say, disturb the Shekhinah downstairs as well as upstairs. What David is doing, that's really the whole secret of Yerushalayim, it's called Yerushalayim and Zion. Metzudat David, Metzudat Zion. Why do you call it one David, one Zion? Because David is from Yehuda, for example, and Zion is Yosef. The numerical value of the word Zion is Yosef as well. So what it means really is Yosef is completely Rachel. If we may say, it's not true exactly as I said before, but mainly if we may say Yosef is Rachel, and David mainly is there. And this is the comparable between David and Yosef all the time, and Mashiach and Levi, Mashiach and Yosef. Yosef ruled as a 30 years old, David ruled as a 30 years old. It says this one refers to the, we call the bottom Shekhinah, one to the upper Shekhinah. David wanted both of them to be together. It says this is the whole secret of Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says, Yerushalayim has a Shekhinah on the bottom, that's called Beit HaMikdash, and there's a Shekhinah upstairs, immediately on top of Beit HaMikdash. And this was really the doubt that David HaMelech had, if he can do the job. The job is not to be the ruler, to be the king of Am Yisrael. He wants to be the king of Am Yisrael, what it means, he wants to be Beit HaMikdash, and the Shekhinah should be downstairs and upstairs. That's what the Nabi is going to tell you later. We're going to learn from Malachim Ezrat Hashem that the Shekhinah came down, fire came down from Shlomo HaMelech. What it means, when the fire comes down from Shamayim downstairs, it means the Shekhinah is going to dwell downstairs as well. This was the job that David HaMelech was worried about. If he is the right person. And this is the difficulties that he has. He doesn't know if he is the right person. Eventually now, when this guy is going to send in some wood and carpenters and masons to build his palace, now I understand, I'm the one. Since I'm the one, the next chapter is going to bring back to Beit HaMikdash the Ark. The Har is going to try to build Beit HaMikdash because now he feels the Shekhinah is going to come back to Am Yisrael. That's what really the Gemara says. David HaMelech became a part of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the part of Mesei Kisei HaKavod, leg number 4. But he's going to tell you that this was a test. That's the last test. That the last test is, if you may say, we'll test it. How much really you are devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says you have an attack from the Fishim. First attack Hashem said, go ahead. You win it. He goes, he wins. Second attack Hashem said, don't go. If you go in the back and wait. You go in the back and you wait. And you look at the trees. If you see the trees are shaking and making noise, it says, then you're going to attack. It's going to come to a moment, it's a crucial moment, if I'm Israel will say, they're coming. Either we go or we're going to die. But the Melech will answer, let's die and not Chas v'Shalom disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. At that moment, says the Midrash, Baruch Hu told the angels, you see, this is the one I chose to be the king rather than Shaul HaMelech because he is more devoted to me. The secret. This is, if you remember, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Chava Imenu and brought Chava to Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon said the statement, Zot HaPam, Etzem HaTamayu Vatam Yisrael. He says, I can be united with my wife. He says, the only way you can be united with your wife is the flesh and the bone is the same. The second one was the same thing, it doesn't matter. But he says that David HaMelech felt for Am Yisrael the same way that Adam HaShem felt for his wife, and of course the secret of the wife is Shekhinah.
Is that why we say that they're actually one and the same, and that they're split?
That's right. That's
right. They were once
right.
One,
that's what I'm telling you.
And by splitting, right. They
right.
Therefore...
That's right, they have to be the same.
They're really
one of them. Rabbi, why is it that David, he in battle, he won Yerushalayim, correct?
Not exactly David won it. Somebody else did, right? That's what David says. Because David had a doubt if he can do the job. So it means what it means is he has a doubt if he can rebuild the Mishkan, if he can bring the Hechal with the Luchot into Beit HaMikdash.
Is that why he purchased the property?
Purchased the property was another reason. He didn't want the Goyim to have complaints as them does. So again, just one more thing, Ariz says really that this is the secret. It's hard to explain, but Ariz says really what it means is that the wife of a person is comparable to Shekhinah. It's hard to explain. But Ariz says you have to know that your wife is like the Shekhinah. Yeah, but the wife is more than an entity of the Shekhinah. It's two different things.
In heaven?
And that? No, here in universe. Yeah. That's the thing that the Gemara says you have to respect your wife so much and then you have to love your wife so much. It's not just because she's your wife, because she resembles... I'm sorry?
The wife represents Leah.
Represents the Shekhinah.
Of Leah. Because it's on earth.
Not just Leah. Leah and Rachel depends. It depends. Depends on the situation. They're not. And that's what it means. That's what the Tanakh says. That's what the Zohar says. The Zohar says when Adam HaRishon saw his wife and he said, this is my bone and my flesh. And he says, who are you referring really to? Of course I refer to my wife. But I also look at my wife that she is the entity of the Shekhinah. It means I feel I'm a part of the Shekhinah. That's what the Torah says. Metalmenu kidmutenu maybe. That a person was made in a way that his, when we say his flesh and his bones are something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has to feel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what the Navi tells us, David gets married to this one and married to this one. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean David has more wives, it doesn't mean more headaches. But what it means is that the king is allowed to have more wives because he has more, if we may say, ability to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a wife represents the Shekhinah. It's not because he's a king, he's the Hashemosh thinks because he's a king, he can have a lot of wives. But in our Torah, the reason that it says what a king is allowed to have more wives is because the wife of a person represents the Shekhinah. The person has to look at his wife as this is Shekhinah. A king has more obligation and more ability to reach that level. That's the reason it tells you now that he's married to that money, married to that money, children. But I said, who cares about this? Why did I have to tell you that? He says, he came to Yerushalayim, the Rabbi is going to tell you he got married to more. He says, he got more ladies, and since you come to Yerushalayim, you have more wives than he needs to marry in Yerushalayim.
You only have up to
18. Five. Why does he need the headaches to have 18? Why Hashem let him to have 18? Why does he tell you that? But he says, this is really what the Rabbi is trying to tell you. David the Melech was described as one bone, one flesh to all of Israel. This is a condition to be a king, and it continues that you are one flesh, one bone of the Messiah with your wife, that she represents the Shekhinah, and then David HaMelech says, oh, now I'm the right candidate. Again, not to rule Am Yisrael, it's just to bring the Shekhinah back to Am Yisrael, means to bring back the Echal, the Aaron, into Yerushalayim, to try to Beit HaMikdash, it means to have the Shekhinah down here, as well as upstairs. So that's his mission. That's what he's trying to do. And the Navi says, well, he's not sure, he has some doubts about himself, after he saw what happened to Shaul, and then he gets a message. He gets a message, he says, Hashem says, go to Hebron. He says, Hebron is not enough. It means Hebron, it means I'm only part of Leah, but I'm not a part of Rachel. It means I'm not born in the flesh of all of Israel. The evangelist is going to come tell him that. The Navi says, he's right. I mean, Israel is right. It means he is a part of all of Israel, like Mordechai was, like Yosef was, like Shimshon was. Says, this is a condition, says Ari, for you to rule that you feel for all of them. He says, you feel for all of them, you feel for your wife, you feel for your wife, for the Shekhinah. He says, now you are, if you say, part of the Shekhinah, you can bring the Shekhinah back. He says, here it is, the Beit HaMikdash is coming.
You explained what the Ari said about Shaul, why he couldn't rule. But did he ever explain why Shaul went like crazy at the
end? Yeah, let's see. What do you mean the damn?
You know that he kept trying to kill the kids.
Yeah, I said it. If you feel it. Yeah. Ah, you want to hear it?
No, that's
a
private.
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah.
We're going to
have our mark. We did it right.